Good morning and welcome to a new week on the Wake Up Call. It is Monday, September the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt and this is your Wake Up Call. It is a new week. And that requires a new consecration, a fresh consecration before the Lord. So let's start there today. Deep breath. Let's attune ourselves to the presence of Jesus with us, moving into us. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, The Lord Makes a Distinction on Judgment and Mercy. Our text today is Exodus chapter 11, verses 6 and 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. The concept of judgment, unpopular as it may be with many, is a monumental reality in Scripture and the Christian faith. There is something within all of us that both wants to judge, but does not want to be judged. And let's be honest, the effect of judgment is discrimination, which is the absolute anathema of our age. In the matter at hand, God clearly discriminates between the Israelites and the Egyptians. He judges the Israelites favorably while condemning the Egyptians. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood and in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, He will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And He will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. That's Exodus 12, 21 to 23. Here's what I think about. What if an Egyptian had put the blood of a lamb over their own door frame? What would have happened? My hunch, they would have been spared. Why? Because the judgment of God comes down to one thing, the blood of the lamb. A person is covered by the blood of the lamb, or they are not. It really is that simple. The Lord makes a distinction. But it is not according to the nature of the people, but according to the presence of the blood. It is an astonishing thing to think about Jesus and His final Passover meal. and his earth-shaking claim with the bread and the cup that it was his very body and his blood. He is our Passover. But this Passover is not restricted to the Jewish people. This Passover is for everyone. Judgment is coming upon the whole earth. Mercy is freely available in Jesus Christ. We are saved by his blood shed on the cross. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the gospel of God. I struggle to grasp how it is somehow unfair and discriminatory that eternal salvation and entrance into the kingdom of God is offered freely and inclusively to the entire human race, exclusively through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Though many refuse to believe, no one is excluded. It is all at once the most exclusive and inclusive offer imaginable. Why is this unfair? The human race, for all our good qualities, is utterly wicked and totally depraved. No one is righteous, not even one. See Romans 3:10. No one deserves the grace and mercy of God. God owes salvation to no one. It is the free gift of grace to all who would believe and receive. Like the ancient Israelites, when we trust in the blood of the Lamb, we are delivered from slavery and set free to live the life for which we were created. In the end, it is judgment, to be sure, but judgment crowned with mercy. Read these next words very deliberately and carefully. Hear them. Everything, literally everything we believe is anchored in these revealed words. From 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 21, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The prayer for deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. Thank you that Exodus means judgment and mercy. That it is not your judgment, but your mercy that is over all your works. I confess my own depravity of soul. I receive your deliverance from every ounce of self-righteousness in me. I am a broken sinner. You are my whole Savior. Jesus, I receive your mercy. which has come in the form of you taking my judgment on yourself. Indeed, Jesus, you paid a debt you did not owe, because I owed a debt I could not pay. Come and deepen your salvation by grace through faith in me. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. The journal prompts today: do you struggle with the exclusive message of the gospel? The whole notion that there's only one way to eternal life with God, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you do struggle with that, why does it seem unfair to you? If you had terminal cancer and there was only one cure, and you had access to the cure, would you be offended by that? And that there was enough cure for every soul who ever lived, would you find that offensive that there was only be one cure? Or would you find it an extraordinary mercy that everyone could get it? How much do you grasp the mercy of God in Jesus Christ? Do you still think you aren't really in too much need of mercy? Well, we're going to sing here in a minute. We're going to sing number 485 in our Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Maybe a predictable song given the title and the tenor of today's entry: Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We'll sing it in just a minute, 485. And we'll sing it with great joy and exuberance. I was preparing to be at a funeral the other day, and you know, I just had this kind of epiphany, which is a sort of a blinding flash of the obvious. That's what I'm known for, just the guy who discovers the obvious thing. And it was this: you know, we always are talking about, a lot of times, there's only one way to heaven, to eternal life with God, and ultimately life on earth in the new creation at the end of all things broken and the beginning of all things made new. There's only one way into that reality, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. But here was the BFO, the blinding flash, the obvious I had. There's only one way to go to hell. Only one way to go to hell, and that is to die without Jesus Christ. I don't know why, but that just kind of hit me in a profound way. Only one way to go to hell: to die without Jesus Christ. And then the other thing is true, is that, you know what? You don't have to die to go to hell. Hell is at the gates, and is trying to take, is trying to storm the gates. And the church, and I don't mean by the church the little building down that dots our landscape, but the people of God who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, the people of God, that's the only institution, organization, body, ecclesia, that's the only one on the face of the earth that the gates of hell will not prevail against. But hell is coming at all of our gates all the time in this life. That's plan B. And plan A is back to Eden, forward to the new creation, found at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's plan A. And here's the other thing. You don't have to die to go to heaven. Well, in a way you do. You got to die before you die. You got to die to sin and die to death, which is what Jesus did on that cross. You receive his death to sin, his death to death, his resurrection over the grave, his victory. You receive it now and you rise up into the life eternal, which is poured out right here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the gospel. You're not waiting for heaven. Heaven's actually waiting to be poured out on you right now. And when we die, when we pass, we just cross over. We just step onto, as my dear friend Ernesto says, one of my mentors out there, one of our readers, the shores, he calls them, the shores of unceasing praise. That's all death is a passing from these shores to those, a crossing of that river. And anyhow, I'm preaching now. Let's sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're off into a new week. It's going to be a good week. Guys, I know these are thick, dense matters, and it takes me longer than I wish it did every day. But this work of Exodus, this movement of deliverance, it's not complicated. It's kind of simple, but there's complexity to it, and it's got density to it. So I just feel obliged to dig in on these podcasts, these recordings every day. And I appreciate you for staying with me through it. The gospel is massive. And we're just even barely beginning to plumb the depths of it. So let's stay with it. let's remember as we're headed out today, grab your seeds. You're encouraging people today. You're building people up. You're putting love and goodness into them, and that will become a harvest in time. So don't grow weary of well-doing. Well, I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.